Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoyed this lesson brought to us by James Andrews.
If you will travel about 1,200 miles north and go to the east, a third of the way around the world, you will land in Kharkiv, Ukraine. It's what this presentation is about, and because of its length and details involved in it, I'm going to read it. I'd rather preach, but I'm going to read instead for your benefit. 21 years ago, the church in Alexeyevka, a district of the city of Kharkiv, Ukraine, began. The work grew and it progressed well. A few years ago, we launched a second work in the Kharkiv district of Saltivka. Both these works are still viable. You're very involved in both of them. President West Huntsville is using about 14% of its money allocated for missions to these works. That's for the two preachers, the work funds, and from supplementary funding for congregational needs. We believe in the work in Kharkiv. We're confident of its progress. I want to take a few minutes, though, to go back and look at some of the background of this work against the demise of the Soviet Union. This is a worthwhile presentation. 1985, Mikhail Gorbachev ascended to power in the Soviet Union, a huge political entity consisting of 15 republics. Russia, the largest of these republics, is huge. The land mass is 1.7 times that of the United States. It is possible for a Russian couple to sit down for an evening meal in Baltiisk, that's the westernmost part of the country, and listen to a morning radio program in Anadyr, its easternmost city. Russia spans 11 time zones. Incidentally, the two people here, Tanya Lakey, is from Ukraine, and Alexander Efimenko is from Belarus. Both of these countries are among those 15 republics that made up the Soviet Union. Ukraine was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. It is 87% the size of Texas, yet it fed all of the people in those 15 republics, including Russia. Now let's look at specifics of this demise. 1986, Gorbachev ended economic aid to Soviet satellite nations. Cuba and Vietnam were among them. 1989, in November, the Berlin Wall fell. In December, governments fell in Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, and Romania. 1990, the Soviet Union passed a law allowing republics to break away with a two-thirds majority in a referendum. 1991, in December, the Belavezhye Accords declared that the USSR was dissolved and formed the Commonwealth of Independent States with Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia. It has been a real ordeal for the people that are there. We're working against that background. At the demise of that 70-year-old political structure, Soviet citizens struggled with mixed emotions. Many of them began immediately to use their newfound freedom to pursue a better life. And so it was when American missionaries hit the streets of major cities of Ukraine, namely Kyiv, Lvov, Kharkiv, and Donetsk. Donetsk became a major target for those of us who lived in the Bible Belt. In January 1992, 1 month after the demise of the Soviet Union, I was privileged to preach in the Petrovsky district of Donetsk, a place where no American, I was told, had ever been. I spoke in public high schools, factories, offices, language centers, and believe it or not, a Russian Orthodox church, somewhat against the wishes of the local priest. But it was Christmas Day, January 6, 1992. The building was packed with those waiting to be blessed and to receive assurance of a better life. The priest cleansed them with holy water. At least that's what he said. He blessed them, reluctantly motioned me into the pulpit, and quickly exited. I spent more than an hour preaching to a standing audience packed from pulpit to walls. The audience was standing because they had no pews. The churches of that order have no pews even today. This is important. By 1995, Donetsk was flooded with short-term missionaries teaching the plan of salvation to a culture that was looking for something to replace communism. Some of the hearers found Christ. The majority did not. So the appeal had to be enhanced, and some well-meaning Christians did just that. During that exciting period, I was conducting vacation Bible schools in public high schools. One of our brotherhood newspapers came out with this note in its centerfold, 3,000 to be baptized this summer, another Pentecost in Donetsk. Although many satellite meetings were held in Donetsk, there were not 3,000 baptized, and if there had been, that was still a poor, poor prophecy. There's no such thing as another Pentecost. It implied, of course, that because communism had failed, that these people were prepared for something different, and they had been prepared for Christianity. But we know better. Judaism had prepared people for Christianity, but communism or capitalism or no other kind of ism would prepare people for Christianity. That occurred 2,000 years ago and will not reoccur. Something happened during that time. Alabama's own Ambridge University in Montgomery was invited to set up a Bible study curriculum in the State Teacher Training Institute of Foreign Languages in the city of Gorlovka, which is about 30 miles northeast of Donetsk. The purpose was to teach the Bible to English language students enrolled there. The government of Ukraine wanted this to be done and asked us to do that. As a result, many of those students obeyed the gospel and became translators for American missionaries. I've worked closely with some of those translators and over the past 20 years, and two of them, incidentally, helped us in Kharkov last month. A third translator was there who was trained as an official translator from the USSR in Siberia, Russia, at Vladivostok University of Foreign Language Department. So we had three translators among us. Many of the early converts were highly intelligent and influential people. Some of the men, especially among the converts in Russia, were ordained elders within a few weeks after their conversion because, as the ordaining Americans said, they are so intelligent, they qualify much faster than we Americans do. After all, didn't Paul ordain elders at Antioch as he returned from his first missionary journey? Men who were just a few months old in the faith. Help, help, help. The truth is, first century converts who were appointed to the eldership had been prepared for that appointment by Judaism. They also were endowed with miraculous gifts. Neither of those things had occurred in Russia or Ukraine. When we tried to mimic first century results in the former Soviet Union, our harebrained attempts led to disaster. In one instance, an intelligent college professor whom I knew, ordained as an elder about 6 weeks after his conversion, took possession of church property, and even though I haven't kept a breath that you bought, now I don't mean West Huntsville, but we Christians bought, I haven't kept abreast of the matter, but when I last inquired, the case was still going on after 5 years of litigation. By the beginning of the 21st century, political, economic, social issues had normalized. American Christians had come to realize that sin is sin, people are people, and sin works the same way in Ukraine as it does in America. The reports that we then started hearing became less exaggerated. Now, where are we in 2013? We're back down to basics. Let's study the Bible. Let's proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, God in the flesh. Let's lift the blood of Christ to its rightful place, the price of the church and salvation. Let's help men understand the plan of salvation and immerse them for the remission of sins. Let's worship the Almighty regularly in spirit and truth. Let's do good to our neighbors. That's where we are. But so far as the world is concerned, these basics are foolishness because they're not exciting. And when the excitement is missing, the world, even the world part of the mission church, searches for some exciting philosophy with all the hype, sizzle, and sideshows that chisel the name of Barnum and Bailey into stone and turn those mass psychologists into millionaires. What about the Christians who want only to preach and practice New Testament Christianity faithfully, consistently, and firmly? And yes, I finally come around to West Huntsville. That's what we were doing when we started back in 1990, 91. That's what we want to do now. So it was on Thursday, June 7th of this year, 4:45 p.m., when Sue Weldon, Sam Sipper, Kerry Waddell, and I spread our wings from the Huntsville Airport to Atlanta, Amsterdam, Kyiv, and finally into Kharkov. Our mission was to edify the Christians in Alexeyevka and Saltivka, help them deal with Ukrainian church problems, and reach out in the community. Although we did not fully accomplish all these goals, we believe we did an effective job. After all, the plans of the mission team remain in a state of flux until they're executed. So we stand ready to walk through doors that are open to us and turn away from those that close. We did just that in that country last month. Now for the report on our work in Alexeyevka and Saltivka, June 7 through June 17. We were ready to visit non-Christians in the community or conduct prearranged studies at the church building with them, but neither Alexeyevka or Saltivka had a list of prospects for us as we supposed they would. We had no one to contact. I might quickly say here that if that had been in Huntsville, we would have started knocking doors. You'd get a fist in your face there and then arrested if you'd tried that. It doesn't work in that country. With the main source of the community contact shut off, there was one possibility left. Perhaps we could set up studies with visitors to our public service, but only a handful of visitors attended. And why so? Probably because the Russian Orthodox Church, I'm sorry, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, erected every barrier against New Testament Christianity that it could. It has successfully built some walls in Saltivka between Christians and the community that has stymied the economic growth of the church as well. Recent laws have increased taxes and have become very costly to the church. Cost is not only in money but in time. Detailed tax reports and then standing in line by an official of the church for a great length of time and paying a pretty good sum of money is a monthly affair right now. But back to the private Bible studies. Even though we didn't conduct them as we wanted to, we're grateful to Alex Efiminko for translating. Are you here, Alex? There you are, for translating a flip chart that I wrote in English. I only write English. He put it in Russian. It's very beautifully done. We use the chart to familiarize the Ukrainian church leaders with one of our methods of personal evangelism. Well, you might be sitting and saying, well, you didn't accomplish what you want to accomplish, so the mission was not important. It was very important. We accomplished a lot of things we didn't intend to accomplish. Most of the problems in the church are external. We have no control over that. I join with Paul. The things that happened aforetime have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. God is on our side. Be assured that he knows how, when, and where to move the next piece on his universe chessboard. And he will move it in his time and to his advantage. Personally, I feel that any setbacks created by the Orthodox Church are temporary and short-lived because God is on our side. On the other hand, internal problems among churches in Ukraine, and I'm not speaking of Kharkov so much as I am Ukraine in general, are troubling because the truth has to be defended, by young evangelists in the faith. Problems regarding worship and marriage and fellowship have polarized a large number of the Christians. We've worked through these problems in our country using intense Bible study and the debate, our polemic platform. Our preachers of yesteryear, G.C. Brewer, N.B. Hardeman, Gus Nichols, Franklin Kemp, Guy Woods, and others, have led us to a deeper understanding, greater maturity than time has afforded the Ukrainians. But time is on our side, of course. You can be assured that some of the congregations in Ukraine are being counseled and directed by knee-jerk leaders, both local and foreign, who have little concept of general biblical principles. That is not true in Kharkov. Those two congregations we spoke of know what is happening. While we must be aware of all these internal matters, they must not alarm us. The struggle is natural. Matters we went through in Alabama 50 years ago, most of the Ukrainian church leadership is honest, and they, like us, will find the truth. As more mature Christians, we Americans must remain abreast of these problems and gently teach the truth regarding them. Ukrainian congregations will mature in time. Thankfully, the churches in Oleksivka and Saltovka have risen above these problems. Their evangelists, Valeri and Igor, are spiritually mature men. So are their wives, mature women. Both churches are reaching out to the downtrodden in their communities in an attempt to lift men and women to a respectable state. One of the Christians at Oleksivka regularly washes the feet, the diseased feet, of a street man and feeds him a meal. That bit of news came to us from a confidential source, and even the church does not know that one of its Christians is doing that. The church in Saldivka is working in a prison and providing assistance for converts in a halfway house. It seems to be even more potent than in the United States. 12 ex-prisoners are now preparing to preach the gospel. The Lord's work is going forward. And now look at your American missionaries. June Tripp was Sam Sipper's first experience to Ukraine. He was selected to be a participant because he is West Huntsville's coordinator for that work. He spoke at Saltivka, once at Saltivka and twice at Oleksivka. He interacted easily with Christians in both congregations and is now beloved by them. His presence strengthened his standing with the Ukrainian Christians. Sam will be far more effective in his work as a mediator between the West Huntsville Church and the churches in Kharkov. Sue Weldon was effective in teaching her daily Bible classes in Oleksivka. I didn't get to attend. I was busy. No, I didn't get to attend. One of the translators told me that she did an excellent job, and I believe she did. Sue, of course, has had firsthand experience with the work in Oleksivka. She and Earl lived there. They coordinated the purchase and renovation of the commodious church facilities that are being used in Oleksivka. Carrie Waddell spoke three times. That might have been four, Carrie, I don't know. To the General Assembly, met many hours with the two evangelists, sometimes separately, sometimes together. I was in those meetings. I was impressed with his ability to ask questions and delve into the real needs of the church there and their real needs. Dealing with brethren of a different culture is not easy. Carrie is a credit to West Huntsville's mission program. And I was greatly privileged to work with these Americans from West Huntsville to address the Christians in Oleksivka and Saltivka, to renew my acquaintance with Valeri and Igor, and to interact with them in public and private meetings. The key to the success of any mission work is communication. The ability to know and understand the needs of both the supporting and mission congregations and the mutual expression of genuine love and concern for brothers and sisters of a different culture. They ain't like us. We cannot do that unless we go there, unless they come here. Thank you for caring. Thank you for sending. May God continue to bless our efforts here at West Huntsville.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.